You're listening to a podcast of Food Talk with Michael Colomeco from 710 WOR HD, New York. For more information on WOR and details on how to join our listener club, please visit WOR710.com. It's time for Food Talk on WOR. Looking for an exciting new recipe or perhaps a great restaurant for dinner tonight? Whatever your food question, Chef Michael Colomeco is here to help keep you on top of the latest trends in food. Give him a call at 800-321-0710.
My favorite thing is being able to talk to people to take calls, so call in.
That's 800-321-0710.
You are a character, and you're going to do great.
You do a really good job. You're very thorough.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Now on WOR, it's time to talk about food. Here's Michael Colomeco.
You're unbelievable.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Halloween, October 31st. Yeehaw! All around the listening. Yeah, hee-haw. It's like a legitimate. An expression of joy and glee. Glee. Unbridled glee. It's Halloween. Come on, how can you not be psyched? I was out and about early this morning. I could see kids going to school in their costumes, parents dropping their kids off in costumes. This is a really exciting day for the under, 15 crowd. Come on. We haven't grown that old, are we? Have we? 800-321-0710. It's Food Talk. It's the 31st of October. It's Halloween day. Soon it'll be Halloween Eve. The little kids go out with their parents when it's still daylight. And then the older ones are allowed to venture out on their own. Good luck, kids. Bring home lots of bags of candy. Yes, and I know all you dentists out there are happy. Lots of stuff going on. I don't know if anybody saw the Time Out New York issue this week. It's pretty funny. It's about chefs giving opinions of other chefs, of restaurants, of trends they'd like to see go away, their favorite sneaky indulgence. I'll talk more about it next week when I have some time before the show. But it's pretty funny. Time Out New York's interesting. I think it's a great publication for a certain age group in that, honestly, younger kids today don't seem to like reading anything long form. You know, the articles have to get to the point quickly, get their attention, and then get out. This is sort of the kids that grew up on video game world. So they're not reading those, they're not reading the New Yorker. The old New Yorker anyway. It's all, flippy stuff. But Time Out's great because you can just read through it and chuckle. It's a lot of little vignettes. It's funny. And this particular issue has a lot on food and chef stuff. So let me tell you, lots going on. This week is crazy. The last couple of weeks have been crazy. There's been these lots of beverage parties, wine parties, portfolio parties, you name it. Every night there seemed to have been something. Last night was Oriole's 20th anniversary. Charlie Palmer's great restaurant up in the Upper East Side that actually got picked in Time Out New York as one of the most overrated restaurants in the city, which is crazy. I don't know why chefs like to throw stones at each other. Charlie Palmer's been a very successful guy. Been around a long time. And anyway, there was that. Dale DeGroff had a party at Astor Center. He's got a book out. We're going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks. And he's got a book out. Who is Dale DeGroff, you ask? Well, I'll tell you who Dale DeGroff is. Dale DeGroff is basically the father of all these young mixologists, or the mentor, not biological father. Holy mackerel, get him in trouble there. No, he is the mentor, the father of a generation, if you could put it that way, of all these young mixologists, all these places that you hear me talk about, places like Death & Company, Little Branch, PDT, Apatoke, Milk & Honey, all those places. Really owe an awful lot to Mr. DeGroff because he was at the forefront of this renaissance in mixology. He was a mixologist at the Rainbow Room, at the Carlisle Hotel. He established and really brought their mixology programs to the level that they were. And these kids today are standing on his shoulder. So it was great to see that. And there was lots of these young mixologists at the party last night. And then there was an after party at Little Branch that Grand Marnier sponsored, where there was lots more people and lots more ice cubes and lots more clinking glasses and frivolity. You know the scene. It's what happens. It's New York. It's a party, and it never ends. 800-321-0710. Let's take Norm. First of all, let me tell you, I've got two guests today. Two guests. We got Francesco Padova, who is going to talk to us about a lot of things. He's an expert on slow foods. He's over from Italy. We may talk about almonds from Sicily. Some great almonds. I've got a good friend, Priscilla Martell, who's a real almond person. She works with American Almond here in New York City, in Brooklyn. She's traveled to Italy, and I remember one time she came back from Italy, from Sicily. She'd traveled all around south of France, all around Italy, and she came back to this little bag of almonds. She said, you have to taste these, Michael. They're from these really old trees. Incredibly old trees that don't bear a lot of fruit anymore. But what do you think? And I put one in my mouth. And, of course, the first couple of bites, nothing's going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was like the almonds that's so good. It was like imitation almond. It was so ridiculously concentrated. And the flavor was like marzipan on steroids. And it was just from real almonds. So we're going to talk about that with him. And then hopefully we're going to try and find Josh Ozersky, who, as always, is a moving target. You know Josh. He's crazy. We've done a lot of interviews with him. Josh was the guy who really helped develop Grub Street for New York Magazine, which is their restaurant blog. If you go to newyorkmag.com, click on restaurants, poop, up pops Grub Street. He has since been tapped to head City Search, which is a huge coast-to-coast guide, and it needed some air in its balloon. It needed a facelift, and Josh has provided that with his funny, and often piercingly observations, can I say that? You know what I'm trying to say. He's funny. He writes well. And he also has a blog presence there now. They never had that. City Search now has a blog with video vignettes, and they update it every day. And he's a hardworking guy. He works at this business as harder than I do. Because he's got to do that. That's what he has to do. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, Norm is calling me from beautiful Princeton, New Jersey. Hey, Norm, how are you?
I'm well today, Chef. How are you?
Great.
Good. I wanted to share with you some information. You did an article on the Ryland Inn a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Scott Anderson, who was the executive chef there, is now running a restaurant in Princeton called Elements.
I'll stop you for 1 second, and we're going to continue this. But I was doing something. My life is kind of a blur. I was somewhere. Could have been a party. Could have been anywhere. And this fella comes up to me. I think it was the Star Chefs thing, to be honest with you. Now it's coming back. And he says, I want to introduce myself. I know, you're Michael Lameco, Food Talk, blah, blah, blah. And I know a while back you did a PBS piece on the Ryland Inn. And he introduced himself. He says, my name's Scott Anderson, and I'm opening up a restaurant in Princeton. Now this place just opened, didn't it?
Yeah, they just had an opening a couple of weeks ago, and they're doing tours of the kitchen, and they have chef tables in there.
Have you been for a meal yet?
We have not, no. We've kind of let it settle down a little bit as a new restaurant would open.
Smart.
And they've got a very extensive wine list and some interesting beers from the Northeast.
He's got, if I'm not mistaken, did it used to be like a gas station or something? He's got parking around it, right?
Yes, it used to be an old triple garage, so they've kept the bays of the garage inside.
Right.
And the architecture is really fantastic.
It was really exciting, because this is a great example. Folks, again, the caller's Norm. He's calling us from Princeton. He's called us before. We're talking about a restaurant called Elements in Princeton. And what's neat about this is here's a kid who may or may not have worked in Manhattan. I think he probably did at some point. Worked for Craig Shelton, who's the Ryland Inn in its day was the best restaurant in New Jersey, bar none. It was a great restaurant, and they did everything the right way. And he got this great technique. And instead of coming into Manhattan to try and open up, here he goes and says, I want to raise my kids. I live in Jersey. Princeton's a great town. Finds this place, does this great renovation on what I think had been a gas station or a garage. He's got parking around it, which is hugely important in Jersey for restaurants to survive, so people can drive there. He has a liquor license. He told me about the person that's doing his wine program. He said it's going to be a great wine list. I bet that's going to be one of the best restaurants in the state within 6 months. Norm, do me a favor. In the next couple of weeks, go in for a meal and call me back and let me know if you liked it. And I'm assuming you're going to. You let me know how it worked, okay?
I will, Mike. Thanks a lot, and keep up the good work.
No, and thank you for the shout-out, because I love these young guys. This guy's a young guy. He's probably just a day or two over 30, looked really serious. And these are the kind of guys that are really changing the restaurant landscape in this town. Not this town, this area. New Jersey, Long Island, Westchester. A lot of talented kids, and, Manhattan can only hold so much. So good news is, little by little in the burbs, you get these great restaurants opening up. In Princeton, wow, what a beautiful town that is. I was going to go to Princeton. Yeah, right. To work in the cafeteria. 800-321-0710. Hey, that's the phone number. So give us a call. Talk to us about Halloween. Here's a question. What was your best Halloween costume? I want to know. Clint, do you remember having a favorite Halloween costume?
I
No. I think guys, maybe girls do this more, moms with their daughters, or I don't, or artsy people. I mean, my kids would go as like, I think every year my kids went as like the axe murderer, which was easy.
Yeah.
Get a pillow, throw some ketchup on it, get a plastic sword, and scream a lot.
I was a vampire one year, and I was really psyched about it, and then my sister stepped on my cape. And I was really upset.
That'll ruin the whole night.
It did.
It does. Or my the other thing my kids were a lot was hobo, which is
easy. That's pretty easy, too, yeah.
Get some of, like, dad's clothes and, like, a hat and just paint, like, bags under your arm. You don't want to be a hobo. I don't know. What can I tell you? 800-321-0710. It's October 31st. My guest is going to be with us in a minute. Hey, welcome back to Food Talk. Mike Colomeco, your host this Halloween day. Yes, this is Halloween. Halloween is nigh upon us. It's the 31st of October. And sooner or later, the sun will set. The kids will be out trick-or-treat. You'll be handing out candy. The little kids come first with mom and dad holding their hands, and then the high school kids start showing up around 9 o'clock, looking really slack.
Hey, man, like trick-or-treat, yeah. I'm a bum, yeah. I'm dressed up. I'm a slacker. I'm a skateboarder. Yeah. Yeah. Can we have some candy?
800-321-0710. Well, here's a guy, Francesco Padova, my guest, is probably wondering, what the heck is this Halloween thing? You picked a heck of a day to come here. Are you going to be in Greenwich Village tonight?
Yeah. I'm going to be actually at Blue Hill tonight.
I had dinner there last night.
Yeah,
I forgot to mention that.
It's awesome.
I forgot to mention that. Folks, last night in between in between parties and frivolity, felt like we needed some food. So we walked into Blue Hill. We had to wait a few minutes. We did not have a reservation, but they were nice enough. We know the people there. And they gave us a table of four. And it was so good. I forget how good that restaurant is. Blue Hill's Dan Barber's restaurant. It's on Washington's Place, which is right off Washington Square Park.
Yeah, you're right.
North side, you step down into it. It's downstairs of a brownstone. And there were some famous people. Behind me was some actress that I'd never heard of.
Really?
Supposed to be famous and very beautiful with her entourage. And then next to me was the tennis player Tim Currier.
Wow.
I don't play tennis, but they knew who he was, too. So
of course. This
is New York.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you're going to see the parade tonight. Be prepared.
Yeah. Before I forget, happy Halloween to New York.
Thank you very, very much. Now, tell us. Again, my guest, I introduce you, Francesco Padova. He's here representing Italian, Sicilian almonds, I think, specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
And are you also affiliated, where did I get this in my, did I imagine this, with the Slow Foods movement?
Yeah. I recently exposed my products at the Slow Food in Turin. The Slow Food event, it's very important for all of those producers and gourmet and food enthusiasts.
Huge. Yeah, huge. And the movement's really taken root here. We had a big Slow Foods conference in San Francisco that took place in September that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I think most of us are aligned with the idea of the Slow Foods movement, what it represents. But let's talk a bit. I have a friend, Priscilla Martell, who works with American Almond. Her husband's one of the great bakers in America, Charles Vanover, Charlie. And Priscilla does a lot of traveling around food. And she came back from one trip once with a little bag of almonds. And she said, Michael, what can we do with these? How can I sell them? They're going to be really expensive. And I said, well, go to Per Se, go to John George, go to Danielle, go to Ducasse. You know, they're pastry chefs, whatever it is. I tasted these almonds. It was ridiculous. So talk about the almonds that you sell, that you're championing.
Yeah, I understand well why she was so amazed. Sicilian almonds are today a rarity since they count only for 2% of the world production. But still, it's a huge production for if you target this production to those pastry chefs and those chefs overall that are surprised and that they really don't care about price.
Right.
And there are some reasons why Sicilian almonds are so good. One is that they have four times the content of essential oils compared to the average almonds. This means that they're more aromatic, but still This is not enough. Having more oils in the seed means that professionals can work the stuff far more better than the average.
The flavor, I don't know if you were here, I described that I, the first time I tasted them, because, you know, they don't have a lot of odor when you smell them, because almonds are just
of course,
closed that way.
Sure.
So you pop them in your mouth, and the flavor takes a little bit of time to release, because you have to get those oils out. And I first couple of chews, I was like, tastes like an almond, because often almonds are very bland.
Yeah.
And these, I don't even think these were roasted. They weren't. And then all of a sudden, it was like, wow, it was like marzipan.
Oh, yeah,
it was all of that almond flavor, almost artificially good, and from one single almond. It was like almond on steroids. It was amazing.
Yeah, when you say artificially good, this is interesting, because today, the almost the 100% of the artisans who work with almonds are forced to add artificial flavorings.
Right.
While these ones have a percentage of bitter seeds that give to the final flavor a so elegant amaretto finish.
Absolutely. And talk about the almond, because it's interesting. The almond is very similar to like a pit, like an apricot or peach pit.
Yeah. That's because almonds come from the same family of the same botanical family, let's say, of peaches.
Right.
They were born more or less 5,000 years ago in Central Asia, and then peaches started proliferating in more humid climates like China, and then over the centuries they arrived from there to Middle East and Africa, and then the Phoenicians brought the cultivation of almond to Sicily. And as you know, Sicily has a very peculiar climate, a very peculiar terroir, and they soon became so important in Sicilian gastronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make an example, 1,000 years ago, the recipe that today is called blancmange.
Yeah, blancmange.
Blancmange was conceived in Sicily as a not as a sweet pudding, but as a chicken broth cooked in almond milk.
Hmm.
And the chicken bones or the fish bones that were used for that broth, when getting colder, gave that
thickness, the gelatin.
Yeah, exactly.
The protein.
Exactly. So it's so funny how Sicily was a kind of a laboratory of gastronomic treasures.
I think Sicily is very unique too, because I mean, it's funny, the Sicilians almost don't consider themselves Italians, and sometimes the Italians don't consider the Sicilians Italians, because there's so many people have come through Sicily from North Africa, from the Moors, from the Persian. I mean, because if you wanted to invade Italy, if you had boats and oars in the water back then, that was a big island to land on, and so much of Sicilian cuisine is so different from the rest of Italian cuisine, even the grapes that are growing there.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a fantastic culinary place. So where can we see, can consumers buy your almonds anywhere, or are they just going to restaurants?
Actually, I'm more focused on restaurant chefs and pastry makers, just because they are the first ones who can really understand why they're so different and why they can be so unique in their menu.
Who's buying? Which pastry chefs now? Which restaurants are buying your almonds?
The first guy who believed in the product here in the U.S. was gorgeous Piero Selvaggio of Valentino, Santa Monica. Afterwards, Alice Waters from the Slow Food Movement started making almond milk with my Pizzuta almonds. And they kept going through the nation. Now we are very well represented in Chicago.
Great restaurant town.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Does Grant use his at Elenia? Does he use your almonds?
No.
Okay.
No. But again, we.
Well, this is good too. You know, the fact that you're here in the country. I mean, because the trouble was, if your almonds weren't getting sold for what they were worth, if you couldn't find a market for them, the trees were going to get cut down.
Exactly.
And when those trees get cut down, it's the end. It's the end of a flavor. It's the end of a history. And I think that's one of the great things the slow movement's doing, is to identify these things, these not just traditions, but ingredients, specifically ingredients that are worth preserving. Because once, if you can't find a home for those things, it's over forever.
This is so true, and let me say something about that. Almond growing is not just preserving a flavor, which is important because it's part of our cultural heritage, but it's a sign of care for the environment, and I'll tell you why. Almond growing in Sicily is a dry farming. And in an island that is relentlessly going through desertification,
right.
Promoting dry farming, promoting olive oil and olive growing and almond growing means saving millions and millions of gallons of water.
It's thanks for coming in. Our time's going to run out here in just a second. Francesco Padova, thanks for coming. I really wanted to get the story out there. It's a wonderful thing. So, but in New York, who's using your almonds in New York? Anybody?
Right now, Tony May.
Where? Oh, but and Tony May doesn't have a restaurant. San Domenico isn't open, so he does catering.
Yeah.
Okay. Cesare? No.
No, but you can buy the almonds at Chelsea Market at Bonitalia.
Oh, I love Bonitalia. I will go look for them then. Where, do you know where he's selling them? Because Bonitalia is that big sort of L-shaped store. I'll go find them. I'll tell them I'll tell them you were here.
Thank you.
I love the Chelsea Market, and Bonitalia is probably my favorite store in there. My guest has been Francesco Padova. Thank you for coming in.
Thank
keep
you.
Up your
Thanks
great
for
work.
Having me.
Keep up your great work, and let's keep those almond trees producing food for the next 1,000 years.
I will. Thanks
Thank
again.
You. Folks, listen to Food Talk. We'll be back in just a second. We've got a bunch of callers. I'm going to get to them, and we're going to find Josh Ozersky if I've got to go out there myself in a cabin and throw stones at him. Hey, welcome back to Food Talk. Mike Colomeco, your host. Let me go to a quick caller, because we had a caller earlier in the opening that was wanting to talk about that new restaurant, Element, in Princeton, that I heard about. The chef is Scott Anderson. Seemed like a really focused young kid that's going to make his mark. Let's go to Ivan Ruiz, who wants to talk to us about the Ryland Inn and maybe more. Hi, Ivan. How are you?
How are you, Michael? How's everything?
Great, sir.
Okay, let me shed some light on what happened at the Ryland Inn. I was the original GM in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were put the whole team together probably back in 1990 with Dennis Foy.
Dennis Foy was the original guy. That's correct.
Exactly. So we all sitting down once, you know, pretty much in about, I would say, maybe July of 91, celebrating because we closed the deal with the Ryland Inn to open a, you know, a three-star restaurant at that time. And then Craig Shelton walked in as we celebrating, and he came in, and he looked very, very upset. And we said, what happened, Craig? And he said, oh, I just got a fight with David Boulay.
That's correct. I've heard the story from him. He had just gotten fired from David Boulay. That's right.
Yeah, I got into a fight, so I'm coming in. So, you know, Dennis Foy, you know, being very smart. And, you know, Dennis Foy had the opportunity to hire either Tom Colicchio or Craig Shelton when he opened Mondrian in New York.
Correct, and he hired Tom Colicchio. I ate at that restaurant back then, and it was a great restaurant.
It was really, really fun. So I can talk forever, so I just want to make it quick. So when he came in and he decided, you know, he said it to Craig, would you like to be the executive chef? Mm-hmm. And we started the Ryland Inn, and we did. And the hardest part of the Ryland Inn, so everybody that is listening, to be able to create a four-star restaurant in the boondocks, pretty much, it was very, very difficult for all of us, and we all have to do everything perfect.
Yeah.
So I know that Craig can cook perfect food, but was I the guy to do the perfect service in it? So it was very, very difficult for us. But one of the things that I can never forget from the Ryland is we just got three stars from Valerie Sinclair at that time.
Yep.
She was the New York Times.
New York Times, yep.
And I went to in PPAC, it was like a big polo benefit, and I got there and I saw her, you know, she had the big hat, you know, she had to hide her identity at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over and I said, you know, Mrs. Sinclair, you know who I am? And she said, yes. And I said, I want to ask you something. Why we only got three stars when everything that we did, it was perfect? And she turned around and said, you know why? Because, you know, the food was excellent, the ambience was excellent, but the service was a little pretentious. And that is something that you have to change in there. I didn't know what to say, and I turned around, and it was true. I mean, we went to length to explain the food in many different ways, the wine, the way everything goes in. So after that, we immediately changed the way we approach people in a much nicer way, instead of saying you ordered the wrong wine for the wrong food. So it was very funny, but that was a turn point in there. And I was there from the beginning, from 91 to 95, when we got all the four stars and the New York Times four stars, everything. And so everybody knows I have never seen somebody as smart as Craig Shelton and as brilliant. And I think he was ahead of his time at that time. He showed me a proposal that he had written in 1987 with the cigar room, with the kitchen so people can...
Yeah, I'll explain what that is. Now tell me, where are you working now, Ivan?
I have a wine shop in Summit, New Jersey, the Wine List of Summit.
I'll come in to see you sometime. You sound like a great guy. And again, my guest, the caller is Ivan Ruiz, who was the first manager of the Rhineland. Everything he tells you, I can tell you, is verifiably true. And there's not a lot of people that would have known those stories unless you knew Craig Sheldon, knew Dennis Foy, and you knew it. That's all fact, as it was stated. Another fact is that the Ryland Inn, when it was at its peak, was not only the best restaurant in New Jersey, but was probably on a par with the great restaurants of New York City. However, it was indeed in the boondocks, about an hour and a half out Route 78, the middle of kind of nowhere, halfway between Philadelphia and New York. And for that reason, it struggled. But it was a fantastic restaurant. They went through great lengths. The food was spot on. They baked their breads. They had a great organic garden. It was like a relais and chateau properly. Ivan, thanks so much. I'll come visit you in Summit. I love that diner in town. It's an excuse to get me out there. Let's go to my guest, who's been waiting in the wings, saying, when's Kalameko going to keep quiet? Ozersky.
Here.
Hey, dude.
I thought this ancient history lesson would never end.
Oh, would you stop it, ancient history? You know, you kids today think the world started in 2007 when they got off the bus from Hoboken. So what's up, Big Daddy? Where have you been? You're out and about. First of all, congratulations again. Your blog, and we got to tell people, let's shill. Josh heads up City Search. Now, Josh was really, not single-handedly, but in a big way, his voice was the prominent voice. His tone set the tone for Grub Street, which is New York Magazine's blog. Very popular, highly trafficked. And it was good, because there was writing on it. It wasn't like some of these blogs that just sort of links you to other stuff. This is actually a blog where there's an editorial content. And not for nothing, Josh was recognized with a Beard Award for that just last June.
Yes.
He was then tapped by City Search, who knew that they needed to breathe some air into their brand. And now he's been at City Search for, I guess, about a month. Is that about right?
A little more than that.
Okay.
But we're already taking the feedback to higher and greater heights of literature and gastronomy, Mike.
Well, the only thing that's going to hold it down to the ground is the fact that it's called the feedback, and I'm sure you're getting a lot of flack over that.
Absurd. The feedback is the best name. Actually, well, there's a lot of good names.
Okay.
The feedback is, okay. I will defend it to the last.
It's your baby. It's like my kids. I'll hire That's William right. Kunstler. They're innocent, I'm telling you. They're innocent, Judge. No. All right. So where have you been lately? First of all, if anybody wants to talk to Josh, he heads up City Search, and if you go there, it's great. It's really
the-feedback.com.
That's the site.
I consider it some of the best work I've ever done, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And also, don't forget, we got all the great columnists. We got Steve Hansen and Paul Greco on wine and Eddie Schoenfeld on Chinese food. It's like an all-star team, and I'm the coach and team captain.
Well, then these are household names for some of us. Paul Greco, of course, is involved with Marco Canora. They've got Terroir in Sieme and Hearth. Paul's a real well-known wine guy. Came out of that whole Gramercy kind of program. Steve Hansen is a restaurant owner, so I'm not sure exactly how that works, but he's a big player, the biggest player in the city.
And speaking of Gramercy, we had Kevin Mayen, the GM of Gramercy, writing about front of the house stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrific, Mike, and I even used the feedback as a bully pulpit last week to once and for all attack what I wouldn't say blasphemous, but let's just say religiose cult of Ferran Adria.
Huh. Well, then you and I will have to have this discussion, too. We can have it on the air. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. The phone number is 800-321-0710. Call us with any restaurant questions you have on the line with me. One of the foremost experts in the New York restaurant scene. He does what I do. Josh is out and about all over. Josh is one of the few guys I know that'll do three, four meals in a night. Well, not entire meals.
I had four last night.
Whew. Where'd you start?
I started out at a Pudo. I had the ramen there.
Oh, so because you missed the event they had the night before.
Well, I'm only one man, Mike. I can't be everywhere.
You're more than one man, Josh. You're Josh Ozersky. Faster than a speeding bullet, mightier than a mighty train, can leap tall buildings, can eat seven meals. The man.
Then after that, we went over to Oriole. They were having a party there.
Yes.
I had a little Vorspeise.
Yes.
And then I bopped over to
Leclerc,
to the wine bar.
What was that word?
A Vorspeise. I'm sure that your readers in New Jersey will be familiar with it. That those at least
is that Yiddish? Are you lapsing into Yiddish?
I'm lapsing into Yiddish. I can't help
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. We'll allow that. We'll allow that on this for this hour. We'll allow it on the station. All right. So we'll keep going. So then you were over to the little wine bar at Le Cirque.
Yes, I had boned frog's legs and like a little garlic butter sauce. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I went over. We went to Gilt, and I was going to talk to Chris Lee.
Yep.
He wasn't there, so I helped him by eating some of his food in his absence, including a fantastic raviola d'uovo, which is the big raviola.
No, did they put truffles on that for you?
A little bit of white truffles there.
Oh, Josh.
Tiny Concord grapes and also a squash puree, chestnut puree in with the egg.
If you were in the studio, I'd throw things at you. Well, let me tell you about Gilt. Gilt's become one of the great restaurants in the city. It took some time. It was opened originally with our good friend who's now down at Courton.
Yes,
Paul Lebrun. It was a difficult opening. It didn't work as they had designed. Exit Paul. Entered the new team, Michael Carmichael in pastry, just post his stint at that unmentionable restaurant on 57th Street. And I think they've turned the ship around. Not only that, it's fabulous. I had a meal there a few weeks ago. It was just great. This is easy three-star food. Easy.
Two Michelin stars.
Can I tell you what? The room is stunning. The food's great. Stay where you are. We've got some callers. My guest is Josh Ozersky. We will continue this dialogue, if you'll allow me to use that word for what Josh and I do. Hey, welcome back. Josh Ozersky is my guest. Josh, let's take a caller who's looking for some restaurant advice.
Okay.
And this will be easy for you and I. This will be so easy.
I'm sure it will.
Wendy calling us from Norwalk, Connecticut. Hey, Wendy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Come see us next week at the event in Stamford. You're not that far from Stamford, are you?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Come. It's Broadway Kitchens. If you're around next Thursday, come visit us. It's a great cause. You're going to love that. Just go to our website. Click on the events page.
Sounds great. Well, I'm calling because I'm looking for a restaurant within walking distance of Lincoln Center. We don't
done.
Eat.
Yeah, done.
Oh,
done.
Wait.
Hold on. Stop. Okay, there's restrictions. Keep going. What don't you eat?
We love seafood, and just want to hear what you're suggesting.
Well, What don't you eat? What are you looking not to eat?
Meat. We love vegetarian. We love seafood.
Lincoln Center vegetarian seafood. Stay away from meat because the two of the most interesting places to have opened is Bar Boulud, which is right across the street, but that's mad meat heavy. He's got fish on the menu, but it's the food of Lyon, so it's not going to be. That's not really their reason to be. How far is Telepan?
Telepan is what I was thinking, actually, too.
Yeah.
I think Telepan's on, like, 68th Street or something.
It's T like Thomas.
Where you should go.
That's where you should go. Telepan is within walking distance. It's Bill Telepan's restaurant. Bill was at Judson Grill. He's been all around the city. He's a New York veteran, young guy, but a veteran. It's in a brownstone. It's a lovely room, and he does wonderful things with fish and seasonal vegetables.
He's one of your top vegetable men in town.
He's a market-driven chef, although Josh and I would never say that because that's so cliche. T like Thomas, E, L like Leopard, E, P like Peter, A, and Telepan. That's your answer. Now, speaking of Lincoln Center and restaurants near it, have you been to Cesare's new place yet?
I haven't. It's in Friends and Family, and I'm planning on going next week. But, you know, Mike, between this lady's request and your commercial about that vegetable product.
Yes, sir.
You may find it hard to believe, but I'm going to a vegetable restaurant next week.
Oh, God. God, Josh, are you okay?
Well,
before you do that, before you go to this vegetable restaurant, what time is your reservation?
Like 7.
Hit Porchetta in the afternoon and hit it hard.
I'm the one that told you about Porchetta, Michael.
Oh, please. I knew Sarah Jenkins when her mother had her diapers, son. Let's not start this. Hold on. I'm worried about you. Vegetables. You got to go to Porchetta ahead of that, and then let's meet for, like, good, like maybe Sambar, where you take me for
the
first time.
We're going to Vitelka for the bacon cheeseburger. Forget Sambar.
Okay, okay, all right.
You know I'm not allowed in there.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. That's I forgot about you, the man that really helped him establish himself.
Well, he didn't need any help from me, but anyway.
You gave it to him.
Listen, Mike, I got a couple of things I want to tell you about.
Tell me.
One is this place. It's called Dirt Candy. It's opening next week. This lady, her name is Amanda Cohen. Mm-hmm. She cooks everything with butter and cream. It sounds like it might be good. I'm going to go and give her a shot.
Where?
It's on, like, East 9th Street in the East Village or something.
You're going to do this. You're shooting me an email over the weekend.
I'm going to tell you about that.
When was the last time you and I put on the feedback, Holmes?
We need to do it soon. It was too long ago.
Well, things have happened in a good way in your world, and we know that. So you've been waylaid, pal.
I have.
Yes.
And listen to this one. I went to Secession with Platt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your listeners may remember that Secession used to be Danube, David Boulay's restaurant in Tribeca.
That's correct.
And you know that, what with food costs being what they are, he's trying to make it sort of more low-end or whatever.
Yes.
So I ordered a steak there.
Mm-hmm.
Menu says strip steak, rib steak, whatever, right?
Right. From the loin, we are assuming. Mm-hmm.
And it comes out one of the most delicious half steaks I can remember seeing. Literally, a half a steak on a plate.
Welcome to the new New York.
It doesn't say half a steak on the menu, Mike.
Well, it's a European steak. It's cut in the European style, as in it's 4 ounces.
Yeah, I think it must be, you know, like the magician's assistant steak or something, you know?
That's why they call it Recession. Isn't that the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, Recession.
So this is terrible. We shouldn't be having so much fun at people's expense. Let's take Matt, who has a crazy question, but I get these questions. Matt from Old Bridge with a restaurant question. You got to be fast, Matt.
Hey, Mike. I'm having a birthday party on New Year's Eve for my father's birthday in Stamford, Connecticut, and we're looking for a restaurant there. We've heard about Il Falco, and I was just wondering what you think about it and if you can offer any other suggestions. Italian, and we want the food to be the most important thing. Doesn't have to be fancy, but, again, the focus.
Josh, is there a good website for Connecticut?
There is, I don't know. The answer to this question is I don't know, but I don't know.
Yeah, the answer for me is I don't know either. I don't know Stamford as well as I should. But you know what? Hold that thought. Shoot us an email. Shoot us an email to Nikki here at WOR, just a food talk, and we'll get you an answer for New Year's Eve. We'll do our homework, Matt. Sorry about that. Josh, we've got to run. You shoot me an email next week. Let me know what your itinerary looks like, which nights you're free, and let's get together for dinner.
And then we could talk about it afterwards.
Yes, Josh Ozersky, he's the man. Visit City Search. It's up and running. Visit the Feedbag. Throw that into a search engine.
Feedback.
It's great. It's a great site. It's funny.
You've been listening to a podcast of Food Talk with Michael Colomeco from 710 WOR HD New York. For more information on WOR and details on how to join our listener club, please visit WOR710.com.